your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Sorry, David. Big Hungry was talking there.
I was just doing a come on, guys. See everyone around the office. Get amongst.
Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I hope you are.
Yeah, I'm good. The weather outside, though, is crazy.
But the John is quite delightful.
I think it's a bit colder down south. They've got snow down there, haven't they?
It's just kept on coming. Kept piling on this winter down the South Island, hasn't it?
Yeah, although I know there's a couple of ski fields there where this is the first real snow they've had. They've only had like about one weekend open, haven't they?
Okay.
So it's been a mild winter up until then for some of them.
Yes. Yeah, I'd heard some of the ski fields in Canterbury had slim pickings.
Hey, this isn't the Cadrona ski report. Yeah, we're all staying our lanes here. Let's take this to space, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, sounds good.
Now, where are we? Where in outer space are we headed first up this evening? You've sent me a cryptic first topic. Two bouncers land on asteroid.
Is that a joke? Or have you the beginnings of a joke?
What they're being called is rovers. But when you think of a rover like the ones on Mars, they have wheels and they literally roll the wheels across the surface. Mm. These two landers don't have wheels. What they've landed on is an asteroid. This asteroid's less than a kilometer in size. It's still pretty big if it was to hit the Earth, but... For asteroids, it's on the small side, so about 900 meters in size, which means it's got very, very low gravity. If you were to stand on it, you could just jump and you'd just float off into space.
Or if there was like a jet of air that came out of one of the many crazy little volcano situations that they have on asteroids that I've seen in the movies. They could just blow you right off there.
That's right. I thought you were going to say if you're an astronaut and you farted, but at least you didn't.
That would happen. You never know, do you? You never know.
So if you were to have a rover on the surface with wheels, you'd literally drive off into space. Mm. So what these have is a little torque lever, if you like. So it just has a little lever that just swings over and stops moving, and that just gives it enough so that it will do a hop. But the gravity is so low that it actually takes 15 minutes before it actually hits the surface again.
Okay.
Okay, so it just little end, it just gently floats above the surface, and 15 minutes later it comes back down and is on the surface again. So the gravity is extremely low, so they came up with this rather ingenious method of hopping them around. They have other little ones inside to adjust which way they're pointing and so on. So, that was just the other day, and the weekend, in fact. They had photographs live coming from the Hayabusa spacecraft that released these two rovers. It came down to within just under 60 meters above the surface and let these two little landers go, and then it went back up to its parked position at 20 kilometers above the surface. So it did it like that so that it wouldn't contaminate the surface with its rocket motor as it went back up again. So they're very careful to keep the landing area on the surface pristine for what they're looking for.
Okay.
That is crazy to even comprehend the level of technology and science that has gone into doing that.
Well, absolutely, and these two little landers, I mean, they're not being told where to go and when to hop. They're completely autonomous. They make their own decisions about when they're going to hop and where they're going to hop. They've got a couple of cameras on each. I mean, they're really small, about 18 centimetres across and about 7 centimetres high. So like a few dinner plates stacked on top of each other, that sort of size. They only weigh a kilogram.
Oh, yeah.
So they're smart little things. So that's the first step. So they are safely on the surface. They are taking photographs. The Japanese Space Agency, JAXA...
What was the name of that space agency one more time, David?
Really good photographs for when they've done their scientific work on them. They don't want to just send everyone the photographs straight away. So we look forward to seeing the close-up photographs of the surface in the near future, hopefully.
David, are you there?
Yeah.
What was the name of that Japan space agency?
JAXA, JAXA.
JAXA, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. So this is the beginning, though. There's another rover that'll be sent down, Rover 2. So we've got Rover 1A, 1B that are on the surface. We've got Rover 2 to come. And there's another one called MASCOT, the Mobile Asteroid Surface Scout. So that will be a little more sophisticated with more instruments and so on. And then just before it leaves the asteroid next year, it'll actually get some samples of the asteroid and bring them back to Earth, and that'll be put in a capsule. Hayabusa 1 brought back pieces of another asteroid called Itokawa, and it landed in Woomera in South Australia. So I think that's where it'll be going this time as well. So it's a mission to watch out for over the coming days at this stage, and then weeks and months and a couple of years before they bring the samples back.
Crazy. Now, SpaceX has sent some artists to the moon?
Artists to the moon, yes. You might remember that SpaceX announced, I think it was the end of last year, might have been beginning of this year, that a couple that were going to go around the moon. It was two people who had paid, and they were tourists.
Is this the Elon Musk situation?
Well, that's his company, SpaceX.
Oh, yeah. I actually watched a little situation on this, and seems...
At the time, they never said who it was that was going to go...
A rich, really rich billionaire's bought the seats, hasn't he? And he's actually bought out the whole airplane, and he's going to... It's kind of the makings of a really great movie is what this person's doing, basically.
But the whole idea has been scaled up. So what they announced last week was, first of all, they said that this billionaire was the guy who was going to go around the moon and back. But instead of just being two people going around the moon, now it's going to be a whole bunch of them, like a couple of dozen of them.
Yeah, and rather than the seats be for sale for other people, one of the billionaires is like, I'll buy all the seats, and he's got a great plan for them, basically.
Well, more than just buying the seats, they have to actually make the spacecraft to fit all these people in.
Yeah, but the billionaire just goes, look, how many seats are there? I'll buy them all.
Exactly.
That's a billionaire's train of thought.
Yeah, so they'll be going up in 2020 or somewhere around there. I mean, the dates that they put out will probably change.
Are we guessing who he's going to choose? Like, it'll be like Dennis Rodman. And
there'll
like
be Tom Hanks.
Tom
sure.
Hanks will be up in there.
Probably most of them be Japanese.
A K-pop star, you know, just random stuff. Eh? Like.
Yeah. That's the idea. But to make it happen, that means they have to come up with a new way of getting these people. I mean, what NASA have sent, of course, is three people to the moon and back with the Apollo flights.
Back in the day.
And what they were working on was a new one called Orion that would have taken six people to the moon and back.
But those are astronauts, eh?
That's exactly.
All those people are pretty handy, and we kind of need them up
spotted.
There.
That's right. So if you're sending artists, there's a different... level of complexity there, because the artist isn't going to leap in and crew the spaceship and it turns into an Apollo 13 scenario.
How many days does it take to go round the moon and back?
Well, it depends on the actual orbit that you take and how close you get and so on.
To get to the moon
when the Apollo astronauts went there was about 2.5 days. But, I mean, they slowed down and went into orbit around the moon. Mm. So they had to slow down a lot more.
They were milking it a bit.
Yeah. Mm. So it depends on what they finally got up with. But what they're basically doing is the big rocket that went up a little while ago, the BFR, the big fancy rocket, or whatever you like to call it, the idea is that would go up to low Earth orbit, and then it would be refueled. So instead of, as the Americans did, sending everything to the moon and dropping bits off along the way and just the tiniest bit actually coming back, this whole rocket would go to the moon and land and come back up, and it would not be dropping bits off. It would take enough fuel because it would actually be refueled in low Earth orbit before it goes to the moon.
Okay.
So it would go up, end up with no fuel in orbit, then there'd be cargo tankers, if you like, full of fuel in orbit, and they would dock and refuel the spacecraft before it actually went to the moon, and that would give it enough fuel to actually land on the moon and lift off again. A bit like, you know, Tintin. Don't know if you
I'm very familiar with
Tintin
that.
Tintin cartoons.
Now, that is crazy.
I missed that Tintin episode, but okay.
one of the books, he goes to the moon.
Was the dog in it?
Yeah, of course.
I like that little dog.
Well, I think Elon Musk has said he likes Tintin.
Yeah, fair enough. And he was caught smoking some DAC the other day on a Joe Rogan podcast.
I don't think he was caught. He was quite upfront about it.
No, did he inhale, though? I watched it. It didn't look like he inhaled. And I tell you what, his stocks took a plummeting on that one. They all reckon it's kind of like some kind of power play because he's going to buy his stuff back. That's a whole other story. It's billionaire talk. Sorry. Moving on. Solar observatories. Observatory. What the hell does that say?
Solar observatories.
Mysterious shutdown.
Yeah, this is all rather weird. There's a telescope over in New Mexico, I think it was, which it watches the sun. It has a big mirror that follows the sun. It sends the image down underground, in fact, where it's cooler because you're collecting a lot of sunlight. It's very hot. Anyway, that's a very well-known observatory. Tourists visit it. And then suddenly... A couple of weeks ago, it was closed down. The FBI turned up and shut the whole place down and wouldn't say anything about what was going on. The staff didn't know. The staff weren't allowed on site. It was all very mysterious. And then finally they reopened just the other day. And it turns out, I mean, it's just ridiculous and it's terrible, but apparently there was a staff member, not a scientist, a janitor or something like that, who they're being investigated for child porn.
Whoa, that's quite a twist.
It all seems terribly dramatic, but yeah, they didn't want to alert what they were doing, and so they just closed the whole place down. And
wow.
Yeah, so just terrible that a place like that could be shut down from...
Some jerk.
So terrible.
Some nasty predator, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well. All the conspiracy theorists are out there about, you know, they've seen aliens and...
Nope, it's just a shitty human. Sorry, there's just a dick. Just a real...
There's always a few out there that have, you know, their imaginations...
Anything
over.
Space. Totally. Hey, David, I actually sent you an email about an hour ago. You might not have got it, but I remember our conversation about do children still go, I want to be an astronaut when I grow up, especially in a New Zealand sense?
Yeah.
I see NASA are looking for New Zealand's best and brightest students to join their internship program. Did you know about this, mate?
Yes, the internship, and I was reading about that just the other day, in fact. It does look really good. And I think they're asking people to apply for it.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure if applications are still open. I've actually got there's a cute little message here from an actual astronaut from NASA. I might just play it real quick. It's only a minute. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Kia ora. Hello, New Zealand.
That's wrong.
I'm NASA astronaut Colonel Mike Hopkins, and I'm here to tell you about a new opportunity for Kiwi students to help build New Zealand's emerging space ecosystem and get a head start in their own space-related careers. Here at NASA, we are at the forefront of innovative and cutting-edge space research, including projects based in New Zealand, like the SOFIA High Altitude Observatory, which studies star formations in deep space in the Southern Hemisphere. From when I was in New Zealand recently, I know you've been doing some pretty amazing things with us, with your own space agency, and launching your own rockets. Very nice. We're excited to see that New Zealand is quickly becoming a destination for space activity. I'm sure I don't have to tell you how incredible it is to work in NASA's many fields of scientific research with some of the best scientists and engineers in the world. Now you have a chance to experience it for yourself. New Zealand has just joined NASA's International Internship Program, which means the New Zealand Space Agency will be working with us to bring a select few Kiwis to the United States to intern and conduct research at a NASA facility. New Zealand and the United States have worked together for decades on world-leading scientific research and projects. And now, we're looking for the next generation of outstanding leaders in science and technology to take us one step further.
Right, there you go. Hey, look.
Yep.
You can dream of being an astronaut again, kids. There you go.
Yeah, this isn't so people become an astronaut. astronaut, this particular one.
It's actually, that's that was like a really weird way to just get, like, they just need a receptionist day, and they're like, look, we don't want anyone with too many aspirations or dreams.
Yeah, so they'll be actually working on projects with NASA scientists.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, but it's all paid for them. That's the thing, if they're chosen. So what New Zealand does is come up with the candidates, and then NASA, from all the candidates from different countries, not just New Zealand, then choose who's going to go there and be the intern.
All right, well, all the best to whoever gets that gig, eh, actually.
yeah. I thought I actually mentioned this maybe 2 weeks ago.
You may have, but I thought that personal message to New Zealand from an actual space astronaut was quite cute. I just had to play that. Sorry, mate.
No, that's fine. I didn't get your email, so I must have crossed
it's
right. over.
It's probably still
home.
Up there in space. Hey, David, should we move on to what's actually happening down there at the old Stardome?
At the old Stardome?
Old mate, the Stardome. Well, how long has it been around for?
51 years, actually.
Okay, well, come on. Is there a new Stardome? No.
Well, we've got new stuff in it.
Ah, yeah, sweet.
Absolutely.
I'd assume that most of the stuff in there is pretty cutting edge.
A lot of it is. I mean, the planetarium is, very expensive, up-to-date stuff. Mm. We've got a couple of things. We've got the school holiday program starting next week, for the next 2 weeks. It's called Puzzling Planets. So there's activities and demonstrations, experiments, to begin with. Then we go outside and launch some rockets, and then we finish up in the planetarium where the show people are going to see is called Wildest Weather in the Solar System.
Just on the launching the rockets part, because you're kind of in the burbs, right? Do you go get the rocket after you've launched it, or does it just see you?
These are water-powered rockets.
Oh, got you. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, no, we would love to have, big chemical rockets with lots of flames, but no, we're not allowed.
No, that's all good. No, still the physics are there, so it's all good. nice.
A day like this would be tricky, even with water rockets.
An astrophotography exhibition. That sounds like a vision.
Yeah, each year the Auckland Astronomical Society runs a competition. Astrophotography is just photography at night. So there are three categories, the solar system, the deep sky, and nightscapes. And so the winners and all the categories and runners-up and so on from that competition run by the Auckland Astronomical Society, those entries will all be exhibited at Stardome from the 8th to the 21st of October. These are just fantastic photographs. We had an exhibition at the observatory last year for them, and that actually went up around a couple of other places like Whangarei as well. So people who come and just look around the gallery and foyer area at Stardome don't even have to go to Ropa Show. There's no extra charge to see this astrophotography exhibition that's in October, and as I said, we've got the school holidays coming up from Monday for 2 weeks.
All right, fantastic. Well, hey, well, thank you very much for another great edition of Spaced Out. David Britton from the Stardome Observatory.
And planetarium.
Well, thank you for that clip. I hadn't heard that from the astronaut.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Well, the link is in the email. Go ahead and have
a
look.
Thank you very much indeed.
He looks like he's reading off a teleprompter, to be fair, but good on him.
Okay.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
See you later.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and planetarium.